fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Hello.
That's hello for all my people out there. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, doing what I do because I do it for you, alongside my homeboy, JT, ATM Money, rocking the MIC. Only place to be is right here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 1 p.m. listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics. All brought to you by FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win in players' place. So go there today and get paid. Ladies and gentlemen, we apologize last week. There wasn't a show. We do apologize. Things happen, so we're going to try to make up for it today by jumping into some great information and motivation for you while giving you that inspiration to go out and do your best in fantasy football and, in life and fantasy sports as well. With that being said, before I tell you what's going on today, let me bring in my co-host, the guy that's my glue right now, JT18 Money. What's going on, JT?
Nothing much, man. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the outstanding and great pick I saw on Facebook of a young Victor Gardner.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I guess you were about maybe around 10, 11 years old, somewhere around there.
No, that was about 13, man. 13,
okay.
14.
Okay, well, I wasn't too far off, but okay. I don't know. I could name a zoo character after that, but I don't know if. Yeah, man. I mean, it's one of the biggest animals on the face of the earth, with a super long neck, just like I saw in that pic on Facebook. Mr. Giraffe, Victor Gardner.
Hey, look, dog, I grew into that head and that neck, so now I'm a fully grown man. You suck for bringing that up. Oh, now since you did that, I'm coming after you full bore.
I figured you would, but that's okay. That's all right. We've done this before. Go right ahead.
That's all right. I'm going to save it. Anyway, little jerk, on today's show.
You know how to do it.
I know you did. You can't control yourself. Mm-hmm. You're just like one of them old people that got Tourette's syndrome.
But okay. And you know that.
On this episode of FSP, myself and JT will tackle the NFC South. That means the Falcons, Panthers, Bucks, or Saints. Who wins the South and who disappoints? You know, there's a history there where no one has won back-to-back division championships in that division.
It ain't going to happen this year.
Yeah. And I think it's been, 12 years, something like that?
Yes, sir.
I can't remember. Somewhere in that area. So we'll talk about that. Golf is also on tap. We're going to open up today's show with the Open Championship, formerly known as the British Open. Some people say this is Tiger's last hurrah. Well, it might have been a couple of tournaments ago. We'll discuss that. We'll hear from Rory McIlroy. We'll get you the latest information that we have from the Open Championship. I believe the last update was at 12:30-ish. Eastern Standard Time, so we'll have that. Oddsmakers used to have Tiger versus the field. What that means is you could bet on anybody else in the field other than Tiger, and you would get paid. They no longer do that because Tiger isn't there. He falls off pace of the Golden Bears, Jack Nicklaus' majors wins, and I don't think he's going to catch up to it, unfortunately, ever since the golf club incident with his wife or former wife. Tiger's never been the same. So it's crazy. We'll talk about that. Also, Pat versus Bradley, too. Manny Pacquiao takes on Timothy Bradley, coming up shortly. And, you know, the topic that people have been bringing up, can Pac avenge the loss that most fighters or fight fans say he won the first time? I say he won. Some others, including my cousin, said, no, Bradley actually beat him. And I disagree, still do. But Pac-Man is going to come out, in my opinion, and knock this guy out. I think he's going to knock Bradley out. We'll talk about that today as well. That and a whole lot more here on Fantasy Sports and Politics. But like I said before, we're going to jump right into it here. We're going to talk about the British Open, or as they call it nowadays, the Open Championship. And let's get a quick review of what's been going on in the British Open.
With a major golf update, I'm Tom Rivers in London. He didn't play safe, he went for it, and Ricky Fowler finds himself the closest to leader Rory McIlroy going into the final day's play. At one stage, Fowler was joint leader through 13.
I was just really looking forward to, you know, getting after a couple holes coming in, especially with the two par fives. Just hit a couple sloppy tee shots that definitely cost me.
Fowler will start his day 6 shots off the pace behind him, Garcia and Johnson. Tom Rivers, ABC Sports.
I was leaving an exercise class.
All of a sudden, the pain started.
Victor?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Okay.
I was saying we didn't need that other commercial, but I did it, Jerry, and hit the mute button, you know. Like talking to a whole show on mute. Bag on this
thing. I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, I'm quite sure it's going to happen tomorrow. I'm quite sure it will.
No, it will not happen tomorrow.
Okay, we'll see. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the young one, Rory McIlroy, is on pace here to have a sizable lead at the Open Championship. Now, normally, the weather dictates, you know, how the play is going to be. If Rory McIlroy finishes today at 12-under and his closest competition is like 4 shots off the pace, he cannot lose. Unless he does a total flop. But let's hear from the man himself. On what's going on, and then JT, we're gonna get your thoughts on this whole tournament and what Rory has to say.
6, 7, 8, and 9 were playing probably a little more difficult than they were yesterday, even. So
why?
Just the wind direction, playing a little longer. Obviously, the ball wasn't going quite as far today. But then I knew on the back nine we had a few holes downwind, and we had a chance to make some ground up again.
So again, over in England, where this Open Championship is happening, the weather plays a dramatic role in, you know, the outcome of this tournament. And McIlroy, on the front nine, he was okay, but then he pulled away on the back nine because he knew that he was going to have some help with the weather and stuff like that. So JT, ATM Money, I got a two-parter here for you. Give me your thoughts on Rory McIlroy and the Open Championship. And, of course, I want to know, what do you think about Tiger Woods, y'all?
Well,
Well, we had talked about this before in length a few times about Tiger and the future once he got busted with his sexcapades. I think, and I had said it before, I think that his him getting his groove on while he was married a few years back contributed to the way he played quite naturally on the golf course. When he got busted, everything proverbially went downhill. And he hasn't been the same since, breaking down physically and mentally. So it's been a long road back. I don't know if he's going to ever get completely back. I think he eventually, because in my opinion, every squirrel finds a nut, and I think he'll eventually break Jack Nicholson's record. It's just going to be longer than anticipated. And Evan, with Mr. Rory McIlroy, he's six shots ahead of the next one. And I'm looking at the leaderboard right now. McIlroy. Well, whatever his name is, he's leading the leaderboard by six shots compared to Ricky Fowler, who's the closest one to him, minus 10. And Rory's minus 16. Supposedly, and I thought it was, that I heard that the weather was supposed to get absolutely horrendous today.
Yes. Yep.
And that's not going to help the guys who are trying to catch him. That'll help me, like you said, in more of Rory's favor than the guys that are trying to catch him. Rory has to have a monumental collapse, which I don't think is going to happen, in order for even for Fowler to even get even in this point. He's six shots up. You can basically say if he stays at par, Fowler has to still have a monumental round in discount today. He has to have a monumental round tomorrow in order to even probably even up with Rory, unless Rory absolutely collapses, and I don't think that's happening. So in my opinion, this thing is virtually over, but you never know. Anything can happen in golf. Guys could be the best golfer in the world today, half the round, and then the back nine, he could absolutely collapse and be the 500th rated guy in all of golf. That's how quirky golf is, and quirky golfers are. So, but I don't see that happen. I think it's probably over because he's shown a lot of confidence. I think he's learned a lot from past mistakes.
And that's the thing. You know, he and Tiger are on the same stable. That's the Nike stable. And Nike has a way of finding, you know, solid, charismatic, clingy figures to promote their products.
Mm-hmm.
This kid, McIlroy, he is Tiger, but from a different country and a different color. He has the ability to actually outperform Tiger. I believe he'll catch Tiger before Tiger catches Jack.
Really think so?
I think so. I think he's that good. The problem is, how long can he maintain his physical abilities? You know, Tiger started breaking down once he hit like 33, 34, whatever the case may be, because I think we're the same age. He's 38, I'm 38. So it's different, you know. I remember, you know, Tiger when he was in his early and mid and late 20s, he was dominating, just like Rory was or is. So hopefully we'll see Rory not fall into some of the same pitfalls as Tiger. I think a couple weeks ago or a month ago or so, he broke up with his popular girlfriend. Hey, maybe that refocuses him. I don't know, the engagement or whatever it was, it was off. I don't know. But I tell you what, this kid is amazing, and this tournament is going to be pretty good. Again, not that much publicity for the average golf fan because Tiger is not in the hunt. This, again, tells me that a crossover in this case would be considered a person that is young, talented, and other than Caucasian. I'm not trying to be racist, but I'm just, you know, getting it out there. These type of people appeal to the average golfer.
Uh-huh.
Golf doesn't have that. Golf just doesn't have that anymore. Who's the next big thing coming out of America and not Caucasian playing golf? You don't know anybody. You don't. So it's going to go back to a lot of older men getting their quiet tea time and stuff like that, and no excitement. You'll still have the golf channel. You'll still have money coming in, but it's not going to be that sport that young folks are going to get into or interested in. I mean, people actually get scholarships to go to college to play golf, but you won't see too many other ethnicities getting those scholarships or playing because Tiger isn't that role model, and he's fallen off. Just my thoughts. I don't think he's going to do well in this
game. Well, just because he's fallen off doesn't mean he's not a role model. I still think he's a role model, and I still think a lot of people, he's a huge drawing card and a huge personality in golf and in the world of sports. He may not be at the same level as he was years back, but he's still, if he's in a tournament, you can guarantee that the viewing audience and the audience on site are increased because they want to see that one Tiger moment. They don't want to miss it. So I still think that even though he may not be the Michael Jordan of golf, he's still a huge personality because of his past accomplishments.
I can see that. I mean, I really can. But do I think it's going to happen? No. I really don't. Anyway, golf is an interesting topic. It's not something I can really pontificate too greatly upon because, again, I just don't find it that interesting that the younger listener or viewer of it is going to jump on it unless it's something you grew up liking or listening to. So with that being said, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, boxing is on tap. Jerry's favorite subject. So I'm going to give Jerry a few minutes to look some Pac-Man and Bradley information up. Since this is his sport, I'm going to let him lead the conversation. You get with that, Jason?
Whatever.
All right, we'll be right back in a minute, ladies and gentlemen. See y'all in a minute.
So you think you know something about fantasy sports, huh? Well, I've got a challenge for you. Would you be willing to go head-to-head against some of the best minds in fantasy sports, like the FSP crew, The Master, Black, Jeff the Joker, and others? Well, for a limited time, you can acquire your own fantasy team. That's right, you can own a fantasy football, baseball, or basketball team and beat the host of Fantasy Sports and Politics at their own game. For more information, go to fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com. That's fantasysportsandpolitics.web.com. If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say, it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Steph SP back in the place to be along with JTH and Money. And in regards to that last commercial, I'm sorry to say it, but I think when Mac does return, and I think he's going to return next month or September sometime, he might be just a little bit right. Just a little bit. I hate to say it, but there are things going on in the country that just can't get with. And outside of the country. I want to do a political show. Whatever. I want to do a political show, and I'm telling Jerry now, I don't know when we're going to do it, but I want to discuss all this stuff going on with Israel going into Palestine and going to Gaza, just blowing it up. I want to talk about Vladimir Putin and all the things he's been doing to reignite this Cold War, and how President Obama has, you know, he's talked the talk, but we really haven't done anything about it. How Putin has forgiven a lot of debt, $11 billion in debt from North Korea just last month. What does that mean? What's the impact? Knowing that North Korea is so far against the West. I hate to admit it, but Mac might have been a little bit right. But I don't care, I still have the guy in office that I want. But anyway, that's a side note. We'll see when Matt gets back, if he wants to discuss that or not, or if he comes back. I don't know. We'll find out. But ladies and gentlemen, right now we're going to talk about another fight of sorts. It actually is a fight that's going on in the world, and that is Bradley and Pac-Man. JTH and Money, take it away.
Well, let me ask you something before I do this. Are they fighting for the third time? Am I right about that, or is that what you're telling me? Because they fought already for the second time, and Pacquiao beat him, if I'm not mistaken.
Pacquiao did beat – oh, I guess, you know what? It's my mistake. I saw something on HBO. They were doing the whole, you know, build-up for it, so to speak. And I was mistaken. Forgive me, for I know not what I do.
Okay, well, I can also talk about Manny Pacquiao, but for the simple fact is he's supposed to fight Chris Algieri on November 22nd because Algieri happened to beat Ruslan Provnikov for the WBO junior welterweight title and with a surprise split decision over him. So they agreed to terms to fight each other, like I said, in November. I don't know too much about this Algieri, but he's 20-0 with 8 knockouts, so he has some experience. I guess he's not a really powerful guy because he only has 8 knockouts, going against a much experienced 56-5-2 with 38 KOs Manny Pacquiao. This guy, quite naturally, is probably a little cocky because he's younger, and for the fact is that he thinks that, like a lot of other fighters, and I still think Manny Pacquiao is vulnerable because he's older. But this kid's only got 8 knockouts, and that bothers me because the fact is he doesn't have a real big punch if less than half his fights have ended with a knockout. So that means he's going to have to do a lot of boxing with Manny Pacquiao without to be able to fall back on a power punch, per se, and that falls right into Pacquiao's wheelhouse, that he'll be able to wear this guy down because he doesn't pack a big punch. Even though he's younger, He's not a heavy-handed fighter. But it's not until November 22nd. A lot of things could happen from now until then. And we'll just wait and see if it actually gets pulled off in that time frame.
Do you think there's a possibility that it won't go off?
Well, all depends. I mean, the only reason I'm saying it probably won't go off, I mean, Bob Arum is part of it. So by hook or crook, he's going to try to get it to go off quite naturally, because this is not just another payday for him and his boy Pacquiao. But Pacquiao or the boxer that November, and this is July, so we're talking about 4 or 5 months from now when this fight's going to take place. A lot can happen in 4 or 5 months. An injury, some type of training injury, or anything. Guy could get in trouble. Who the heck knows? That's the only way it's going to get stopped, if it's an actual injury that's going to prevent the guy from getting into the ring and performing at his max. Hopefully he doesn't get a cut, or Pacquiao get a cut, or get some type of injury, like I said, during the training. So when it comes to fruition, come November 22nd on pay-per-view on HBO, then we'll see.
They're not paying us. Do not mention that company. If they were paying us, I'd be okay with it.
That's all I got.
Okay. All right. That's understandable. I got you on that one, my brother. Okay.
Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, is there any other topic you want to talk about before we get to football?
Oh, man. Hey, go. Go to football, man. Football's in full effect. Training camp's going to start next week. In fact, a couple teams, Bills and the Ravens, training camp has started completely for both of those teams. So,
let me hit this button, and then we're going to get into it.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all age, FSC Proud presents our fantasy football forecast of the summer for the NFC South. Sit tight. Sit back, sit tight, buckle up. You're ready for the long ride with JJK Money. And Vic FSP is going to do what we do, because it's Mr. FSP to you. Let's go.
Go! Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor, not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stack defenses in the pros. They must meld the butt of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprinter. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
And you know what that means. It's about that time. All right, all right, all right. Do you hear lemonade? Because I don't hear lemonade.
I hear it.
All right, whatever the case may be. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, what I'm going to do right now is give you a forecast for the team that I think is going to be the worst team in the NFL. Yes, I said it, in the NFL next year, and finish last in the NFC South. Let's take a trip to the East Coast, go on down the Atlantic coastline, and stop off in North Carolina with the Carolina Panthers on the docket.
Really?
Who made the sacrifices necessary to become a playoff quarterback? Without this top 10 fantasy ranking taking a hit, this game might be a little bit too loud. Let me turn that down. I ain't hear it before. Now I hear it. All right. But linebacker Luke Kuechly and Panthers defense were burning it up in 2013. That unit enters 2014 ranked number 2 after 60 sacks and 20 interceptions last year. Who's not hot?
Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams are perhaps the most enigmatic duo in the league. When one looks to have a big season, he falters and the other thrives. Such as 2013 when Stewart missed the majority of the year with an ankle injury, while Williams, who narrowly missed being traded before the season, had his best campaign since 2009. Williams is 30. However, the off-injured Stewart has not proven capable of carrying the load. The X factor here is Greg Olsen will be Newton's most reliable target, considering the Panthers rid themselves of career receiving leader Steve Smith and every other contributing receiver from last year's roster. They were the most balanced team in the NFL. 50% run, 50% pass. With that being said, JTHN money, get up in Carolina. I can't finish that word. Go ahead.
Well, I couldn't understand the mindset of the Carolina Panthers. They got basically rid of every wide receiver that was capable and produced last season. Every wide receiver that produced last season that did have some decent production, I should say. They got Kelvin Benjamin, Tyquan Underwood, Jericho Cotchery, and Jason Avant. That's their wide receiving core. That scares absolutely no defense.
No one.
That absolutely, and I'll say that again, that absolutely scares no defense at all. They have D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, Mike Tolbert, and Richie Brockle as the running backs slash fullbacks. That absolutely scares no one. No one at all. So going up the Carolina Panthers, if you put up 2 touchdowns, you have a strong chance of winning the game. For the simple fact is they have no offensive weapons to speak of. Cam Newton, Greg Olsen. That's it. Because these other ones are not someone you can count on week in and week out. True, some of these guys may come in and give you a fluke week or have a career week or have a big week. But from week to week, there will be no consistency in the offense. It's all going to fall on Cam Newton. He's had some surgery on his ankle. Supposedly he's feeling better than he's ever felt since he came into the league because he's finally got the issues with his ankle cleaned up. But he's got no weapons. Unless something falls out and shakes out in training camp or someone gets released and they pick up someone that gets released from another team that can give them more than they have right now in Kelvin Benjamin, Tyquan Underwood, Jericho Cotchery, Jason Avant, or D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart, they're in deep doo-doo on the offensive side and going to have to heavily rely on their defense, who's going to be minus Greg Hardy for a few games because of the fact he's going to get suspended due to his domestic violence conviction. So he's definitely going to be sitting on the sidelines for a few games, just a matter of how much. So their biggest pass rusher is not going to be, at least for the first 2 or 3 games, if not longer. And they have no offense to speak of. It's going to be a sad day in Carolina. But I think they're not going to be the worst team. But it's going to be a sad day in Carolina.
Mr. Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be worse than the NFL. All right. I'm going to tell you this.
if, and I had this guy ranked as my 50th best receiver coming into the year, Kelvin Benjamin, if he can turn out and play big like his size, Cam might have a shot at another target. Otherwise, I'm going to double-team Mr. Olsen all the time. I'm not scared of Jason Avant, and I'm not scared of Jericho Cotchery. Not at all. I'll play them man-to-man all day long. D'Angelo Williams, okay, yeah, great season last year. But he's – now, listen, 30 isn't a bad number, but in running back years, that's kind of bad because of the abuse you take, especially when your backup isn't healthy. But you got big boy Mike Tolbert there, who's going to get a lot of touches this year if Jonathan Stewart doesn't go anywhere and stays on the bench, I mean. So I really, really think you're going to see a running and ducking Cam Newton. I don't see his completion percentage over 60% this year. He might be in the mid to low 50s this year. I lie to you not. Like you said, I don't know who they're going to pick up unless somebody, you know, gets dropped or they trade because it's no one there. No one is there. All right. With that being said, the only spots I'm going to give you, fantasy-wise, is Luke Kuechly. And I'm not even going to go with Cam. I'm not. I'm not even going to touch D'Angelo. I mean, these guys aren't people I want to look out for. I'm just going to go with Kuechly. And I think they went and got a decent safety. So the defense is good. But the offense is horrendous. It's just horrendous. What do you got, JT?
Well, there's one guy that targets equal opportunity. And he's going to get targeted a lot. He got targeted a lot last year, 73 receptions for 816 yards, and he had 6 touchdowns. He even had more touchdowns than Steve Smith or Brandon LaFell or Ted Ginn, and he was a tight end. And he had the most receptions on the team and the most receiving yards on the team, and that's Greg Olsen. He's going to get targeted heavily. Now, they do have Ed Dixon as another tight end, but Greg Olsen is Cam Newton's go-to guy, security blanket, BFF, whatever you want to call him. He's going to be looking at Greg Olsen a lot, quite naturally. Like you said, they're going to be probably double-teaming Greg Olsen, but that's not going to stop Cam Newton from going to him because who else, like I keep on saying, who else is he going to go to? Unless somebody steps up and shows him some type of consistency. Other than Greg Olsen, he's going to be going to Greg Olsen on a regular and often basis. So that's the only guy I can see on the offense. You took the guy I would probably say on the defense, Kuechly, who's a tackle machine, and there's another D lineman that I like. I don't know how effective he's going to be with Greg Hardy out there. He's on the other side. That's Charles Johnson on the defensive side. So that being said, are we going to go down to see what the record's going to be or what?
Yes, we are. Yes, we
okay.
are. Okay. Ready?
I'm ready, man.
At Tampa Bay, Detroit. Well, let's go one by one. At Tampa Bay.
I have him as a win.
I have him as a loss. Home for Detroit.
I have him as a win.
I have him as a loss. Home for Pittsburgh.
I have him as a loss.
I agree. At Baltimore.
At loss.
I too have him as a loss. Home for Chicago.
There's one team that's got a lot of offensive firepower. They won't be able to keep up. I have them at a loss.
I have them getting their first victory in a upset.
because it's at home. If it were in Chicago, I would give it Chicago, but their defense is strong, Panthers, that is, but Chicago's defense isn't that strong. And I think that Newton can do a little something against their defense. All right, at Cincinnati.
I have them winning.
I've met a loss. At Green Bay.
That's a loss.
I agree. Home for Seattle.
That's a loss.
I agree. Home for New Orleans.
That's a win.
I have met a loss. At Philadelphia.
I have that at a loss.
I agree. Home for Atlanta.
I have them as a win.
I have them as a loss. Then they get a bye week, a much-needed bye week. At Minnesota.
We'll make a difference. I have them at a loss.
I got them at a win coming off a bye week. At New Orleans.
No one wins in New Orleans. At as a loss.
Home for Tampa.
I have them win against Tampa.
I have them losing. Home for Cleveland.
I have them winning.
I have them losing. And finally, at Atlanta.
I have them losing that.
I agree. Your final total?
7-9.
3-13.
Well, I have a 3-13. I have a 3-13, but it ain't Carolina.
And it ain't Jacksonville either, because you're too scared to place that bet. Where was I at? I love myself for me.
And we have you have your cousin on board too.
I did not check it out. Okay, let me bring him on real quick.
I already did.
Oh, you did? Okay, because I was doing something else. What's up, Mike? What's going on?
What's going on? What's up, Jerry?
How you doing, my man?
Good.
So, I don't know how long you've been on because Jerry brought you on. What do you think the Carolina Panthers are going to do this year?
Oh, I think the Carolina Panthers are going to come back a little strong this year. I don't know about that division. That division is a real toss-up. So I'm going to say they between like 8-8 and 9-7.
Yeah, you're closer to Jerry than I am. I got them going 3-13. They're doing like a total flip-flop because they had no one. Unless, as Jerry said, something happens during the preseason and they pick somebody up. I just don't see it. But, you know, not the first time, not the last time. All right, let's move on to another team that's down in the South. Well, first, before I do that, let's hear from a quarterback. He's not in the South, but he does pretty well versus the South. And he's talking about injury, because the team I'm about to bring up, they dealt with a lot of injuries last year, a lot of injuries, and it caused them to be a very poor team. But let's see what this quarterback, and I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers, has to say about missing 7 games last year.
It just gives you a good perspective on, you know, how much you love the game and how it's a short time in your life, and it's all about being, you know, to enjoy the moments with your teammates, enjoy the camaraderie, and then when you get a chance to play, try and stay on that field, because that's where I thrive, and that's where I know that I want to be for the next multi years to come.
So we're talking about Aaron Rodgers having injuries and stuff like that coming back. He's coming back to a better stock team and stuff like that. But this team, who I honestly think will be tied for first in this division, had to deal with their own injuries. I'm talking about the Atlanta Falcons. I think the Atlanta Falcons are
due for a breath of fresh air. Even though they lose Tony Gonzalez, I think they're going to have a pretty decent outlook this year. But let's get to it. And for this one, I think I'm going to play Jerry. You'll like this one. Here we go.
God. Yeah, okay.
All I'm saying, Jay, too, is that you missed the music. Here we go. Who's hot? Matt Ryan was about the only thing remotely warm in Atlanta last year, other than the recently restricted tight end free agent, who's now retired, Tony Gonzalez. He eclipsed 4,500 passing yards and 25 passing touchdowns with limited weapons. And assuming Roddy White and Julio Jones, are healthy, Ryan should at least replicate those numbers. Plus, gotta give him a running. Who's not? Atlanta's defense has few playmakers on it, contributing to its 23rd rank. Paul Warlow was a top 15 tackler, but doesn't rank as a top 25 linebacker. Any success on that side of the ball will be a surprise. The X factor, Roddy White is coming off his injury-riddled season, and given his age, 32, it would be tempting to assume he's on the downside of his career. Whether that is valid or not, the fact that it's a question affords White the opportunity to fly under the radar. As a matter of fact, Roddy White is in a contract year. They're trying to get him a 2 to 3 year contract. Now, last year, this team was so disproportionate. They threw the ball 2 times more than they ran the ball, 57% to 33%. That's amazing, considering they went out and got Steven Jackson. But I know JTAC Money has something to say, especially about the running game. So, JT, the floor is yours.
All right. Like you said, this team was racked with injuries, especially the two prolific wide receivers. In and out of the lineup, for most of the year. They're one of the most dynamic wide receiving duo in the NFL when they both are on the field and can play to their full capacity, along with Matt Ryan. They build it. They brought in a hopeful, and last year a lot of fantasy football players were hopeful that Steven Jackson would be a strong player in fantasy world. Well, he had his issues, and he also wasn't as effective as he was when he was in St. Louis. On the 30 tip that he is, I don't think he's going to be that effective again this year, even though he's going to be healthy. Look for Devonta Freeman, the rookie out of Florida State, to push Steven Jackson for some carries. It looked impressive in the offseason and OTAs and minicamps. Steven Jackson doesn't show right. He may be taking the place of Jason Snelling, who's no longer with the team, and Devonta Freeman may be the every down back, because he can definitely catch the ball out of the backfield. His big thing, like with all running backs, is pass blocking. But I look for this offense to bounce back and to have a strong showing in contention for the NFC South title.
Michael?
Yeah, I think this team should do a reasonable amount of bouncing back this year. I just don't know how far that ceiling will let them go. I really don't know. I haven't seen them play or whatever. I think their window is fading a little bit, but that offense is still young. You know, Ryan is still young. Those two wide receivers are still young. I don't know about my man, that running back that came down in. And they lost Tony. So I don't know. I'm gonna stick with them at 9-7, 10-6, something like that. Fighting for the top.
Okay. Well, let's do the fantasy folks first. So JT, we know you like the young running back.
Yeah.
Mr. Freeman. And there's a lot of buzz on him. He's actually ranked 34th in running backs by a lot of people, and he's a rookie. So just as you feel as though he's going to, take over, you know, Steven Jackson's job, we'll find out. I believe Hard Knocks starts this Friday. This upcoming Friday on HBO, or is it next Friday? I'm not sure. But we'll get
those
glimpses. What?
Go ahead. I'm listening for you. Go ahead.
No, I was saying I'm not sure if it starts this Friday or next Friday, but people get their first look at the young man. Personally, I like the fact that if you can't get Julio Jones, Roddy White is in that prove-it season. He really is. And a big sleeper that's probably going to end up being on a lot of waiver wires because, you know, he isn't that big of a name and people forget what he did last year is Harry Douglas. Harry Douglas is going to be that that short intermediate guy that Mr. Gonzalez was. Now, he doesn't have the big body for it or whatever, but he's going to be that short across the middle guy, along with Roddy, because Roddy has a bigger body, but look for Harry Davis a little bit. So my fantasy pickup on offense, if you can't get Julio, go ahead and get Roddy. You won't disappoint you. And save that final pick or so for Mr. Freeman. He might be out there. On the defensive side, I am not quite sure if I'm going to recommend anybody on the defensive side. Their linebacking core, I'm not too thrilled with. Matter of fact, I'm looking over my list right now. I don't even think I have an Atlanta Falcon in my top 50 defensive players. I really don't. And that's the scary part because they have a ton of talent. It's just, I mean, how many times can you get OT in Europe? He's not going to do that much. He's a specialty guy. Paul Warrilow is the guy that was mentioned. He led the team, but he wasn't even a top 25 linebacker. That's ridiculous, you know, but I don't have anybody on defense. What you got, JT?
All right. I got two guys on the offense that I'm looking at that quite naturally I mentioned Freeman, that you can get him very late in the draft, and I think he's going to be a nice pickup. And he may be the starting running back, and you can get him on the cheap. It all depends on what kind of media play he gets through these fantasy sites on TV and through the websites and how he shows out in training camp. Excuse me, the other guy I'm looking at, and he played sparingly last year, and I don't think they're going to go away from that position just because Tony Gonzalez retired, and because I think Matt Ryan likes thrown to that position in the tight end position. I'm talking about Levine Toyeloo. I think he's an athletic tight end. And he may be quite naturally, he won't be on the radar. I guarantee you he won't get picked up in any of your fantasy pickups. Guaranteed that. And I think he's going to be another sleeper on that side. And also on the defensive side, this is two guys that I like that I'm looking at, and I have to see how they're going to show out in training camp. But I like Sean Witherspoon on the outside, as an outside linebacker. And also, if you're looking for a DB, I'm looking at Desmond Trufant. That may be. I want to take a look at him and see if he's up to form like he was last year. Both of those guys up to form on the defensive side last year. So that's who I have on both sides of the ball.
All right. Well, Mike already gave his predictions for this team. Let's go down to the list, Jerry. One-on-one. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Home for New Orleans.
Hey, they win that.
Yeah, I give them a win, too. It's going to be tough, but I give them a win. At Cincinnati.
Loss.
I got them as a win. At Tampa Bay.
Win.
Excuse me, they're home for Tampa Bay. I apologize. Home for Tampa
Bay.
Yep,
they're home against Tampa Bay, yes. Thursday night.
I'm going to give them a loss on that one. At Minnesota.
Win.
Agreed. At the Giants.
Second game on the road, loss.
I give them a win. Home for Chicago.
A win.
I give them a loss. At Baltimore.
They lose.
I give them a win. In London, playing Detroit.
Tough. This is a tough one, but I went with a win for them against Detroit.
I'm going to give Detroit the win on this one. It depends on if Freeman is starting at this point or not, because I know Atlanta got the great left tackle, but their center and guard play is not that good, and I see Fairley and Ndamukong Suh eating that butt up, just like tearing it up. Then they got a bye week. Then they go to Tampa Bay.
They lose that.
Yeah, they're going to lose that. At Carolina.
They lose that.
They win that one. Home for Cleveland.
They win that.
Yes, I agree. Home for Arizona.
Lose that.
I agree. Then they go to Green Bay.
Lose that. That's Monday night.
I think they win that one.
Not in Green Bay. Not December 8th. No way. They're not going to win that.
If they're running the ball, I think they win.
Excuse
home for Pittsburgh.
They win that.
I give Pittsburgh that one. At New Orleans.
They lose that.
I agree. And then home for Carolina.
They win that.
I agree. Overall?
I have them at 8-8.
I have them at 10-6, 11-5, which is a drastic change from what they were last year. They were that 3-13 team last year. And I really think it's going to happen to Carolina this year. So we disagree slightly, but nothing major. Nothing major. All right. Well, Michael has a 9-7, you got an 8-8, I got a 10-6. So I think we're all about in the right ballpark. The problem is, how will they bounce back from, last year? Is it the defensive play? Is it the offensive play? Special teams? What is it that's going to make Atlanta be that bounce-back team?
I think it's a combination of two things, man. Excuse me. Hold on a minute. I think it's a combination of two things. And both of them hurt him last year and health-wise, and I think because of the players on the offense and defensive side are healthy right now, and we're just looking at right now, I think it's going to be both of them. It's a combination. This team needs a decent defense for the offense to be on point. And if the two wide receivers are got their act together and stay healthy, and they have a decent running game. It doesn't make a difference whether it's Steven Jackson or Devonta Freeman. Well, they have a good running game. I think one feeds off the other. Defense feeds off the offense. Offense feeds off the defense. So these two teams, they need each other, meaning the offense and defense, to be effective as a whole team.
Okay. I think I'm not going to debate that. I think you're pretty right on that one. I think that's a pretty fair assessment of what's going on there.
And Hard Knocks debuts Tuesday, August 5th at 10 o'clock.
Okay, but they start their season. Not preseason. You know what I'm talking about. They start filming.
You mean they start filming Hard Knocks?
Yeah. They start filming Hard Knocks. I think in a week or so.
Okay.
Because those guys, they'll be in camp. So, anyway, let's move on to the team that I think is either going to win the second place outright or tie Atlanta. And in any situation, I think three teams are coming out of the South. I'm talking about Tampa Bay. I'm not going to play any music for Tampa Bay because Tampa Bay, they're just going to be Tampa Bay. Here we go. Josh McCown started 5 games for the Bears during Jay Cutler's injury last year, throwing for 1,829 yards and 13 touchdowns. For McCown's sake, the Bucs sought to replicate the Bears' all-receiving core of 6'5 Brandon Marshall and 6'4 Alshon Jeffery by drafting Mike Evans and Austin Stephen Jenkins. Both are 6'5", and they will join the number one wide receiver, Vincent Jackson, who is also 6'5". Expect the Bucs to win their share of jump balls. Who's not hot, and I totally disagree with this, because I think this kid's going to have a bounce back here. He's coming off an injury, and a lot of folks are forgetting how valuable he is with the receivers there. He'll step it up again, and that's Doug Martin exploded onto the scene as a rookie in 2012, rushing 1,454 yards, 11 touchdowns. Last season, however, injury limited him to 6 games, and he ran for just 456 yards and 1 touchdown. Perhaps most alarming is that his yards per attempt dropped a full yard from 4.6 to 3.6. He's an early-round fantasy prospect, but that's based off the belief that last year was a complete anomaly. And I agree, I think it's a complete anomaly. The X factor, Tampa Bay's defense will have no choice but to improve under new head coach Lovie Smith. As the head man of Chicago from 2004 to 2015, his defense has finished in the top 5 in takeaways 5 times and were number 1 twice. Pass to run ratio of this team, again, it's pretty even. It was 55-45 pass to run with Lovie Smith as the head coach. And the Twin Towers, not to mention the other rookie they drafted at 6'5", I look for that to be a 50-50 proposition and a lot of jump balls. A lot of jump balls in the end zone for Vincent Jackson and my guy Mike Evans. With that being said, JT, what you got?
Well, everybody's outlook on this team is optimistic. I have the tendency, I have the opposite view of this. New coach, new scheme, new quarterback, rookie wide receiver, which rookie wide receivers for the most part don't show out. It's an anomaly when they did. So everybody's jumping on because they think Keenan Allen is the norm, which is not. For the most part, rookie wide receivers don't pan out. They play a huge secondary role. in the passing game. I don't like this team at all. I could be way off based on this. I love the coach, but everything's changed from this team. And I understand the new mindset. They're optimistic because they got a new coaching staff and a coach that is a winner. But the pieces that they have in place, and it's going to take time for them to gel, I don't see it. I think this is going to be a disappointing year, and Doug Martin is going to be a huge disappointment. He wasn't playing that well before he actually was out for the rest of the season. He was a disappointment because of his draft position, or average draft position last year, which was in the top 10, if I'm not mistaken, in drafting in the first round. And he definitely didn't show out like that up until his injury. So I don't think he's going to be anything to write home about this year, even though people are drafting him early. I don't see it. I think this is going to be probably one of the worst teams in the league, in my opinion.
Really?
Yep.
That's kind of strong, brother. I'm on Lovey Smith's bandwagon. I really am. But let's hear what Mike has to say about it.
I'm with Jerry on it. I like Lovey Smith, but it's going to take him some time to whip that team into shape. I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to be successful eventually, but I think they'll have a respectable season, but they're in the lower tier right now. If they are to come up out of that, they're going to have to show me. I don't got them winning no more than six games this year.
Wow. All right, well, let's go down that schedule. Let's see what's going on with Tampa Bay. Open up at home versus Carolina.
Good. I see him as a loss. Loss.
Wow, I got a win. Home for St. Louis.
Loss.
I have him at a win at Atlanta.
Look at the two defenses they're going up against. Right off the first two defenses. Huge pass rushes on both these guys. Even if Greg Hardy's not there, they're still going to have a big pass rush on Carolina. And St. Louis has got a big-time pass rush.
JT, the difference is those two teams don't have an offense. So they can have a great defense, but if they can't score, if neither of those teams can score, that's going to be, you know, a little different makeup.
Okay. You keep running down the schedule, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen here.
At Atlanta.
What'd you say, Atlanta?
Yeah, at Atlanta.
At Atlanta. That's a loss. Big time offense. They're going to get blown out.
I agree. I don't think they'll get blown out, but I agree it's a loss. At Pittsburgh.
That high powered offense. We talked about this earlier. They're going to do a lot of no huddle. They're going to be doing a lot more quick tempo offense, and Ben Roethlisberger is going to keep that offense on the field a lot and moving it. Loss at Pittsburgh.
I can agree. No. Excuse me. I think they're going to win at Pittsburgh.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Remember, here's the deal. Pittsburgh has a very similar situation as Carolina. Although they kept Mr. Brown, they brought in the often injured what's my man from New Orleans? I can't remember his name.
Lance Moore.
Lance Moore. Good receiver, but I think playing in that physical conference, he's going to get banged around a lot.
Unbelievable. I'm gonna eat you up in fantasy. Oh my God!
Yeah. Okay.
Just like
you're doing in baseball, right? Okay. We'll talk about that in a minute.
At Pittsburgh, that's a loss. Easy loss.
It's a win. At New Orleans.
That's a no-brainer. That's a loss.
I agree. That's a loss. Home for. for Baltimore.
Another loss.
And this, well, this could
another
be a right concern, depending on his suspension, whatever it comes down. They're home for Baltimore. I'm going to give them, down in that heat, I'm going to give them a win. That could go either way, but I'm going to give them a win. They got a bye week. Then they're home for Minnesota.
That's a win.
Okay, I agree. At Cleveland.
That's a win, and that could go either way, but I'm going to give them a win.
I agree there as well. Home for Atlanta.
And lose again. No offense.
I believe they win this time at home. Then they go to D.C.
Loss.
Agreed. At Chicago.
Loss.
Agreed. Home for Cincinnati.
Loss.
I think they beat Cincinnati. I think they surprise and beat Cincinnati. At Detroit.
Loss. No offense. They're going to get blown out.
I don't know.
They're going to get blown out.
I'm going to agree with you. It's going to be a loss. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. No, not whatsoever. At Carolina.
Another loss.
Disagree. It's a win. Home for Green Bay.
Loss.
Agreed. Finish off the season home with New Orleans.
And surprisingly, because they're home and New Orleans doesn't play well on the road, and especially at Tampa Bay, I give them a win.
Agreed. Just like last season came down to Carolina and New Orleans, it's going to come down to Tampa Bay and New Orleans. And I can agree with you on that. I think they're going to lose that one as well. I think they'll win that one, that is, as well. I have them at 10-6.
10-6? Nowhere close. We're way off on this. I have them at 3-13. There's so many.
What?
So if you look at this, look at the teams that they're playing, and a lot of them that they're playing: Atlanta, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, Baltimore, Washington, Chicago, Cincinnati, Detroit, Green Bay, all have decent offenses or crazy offenses that can put up a lot of points. Tampa Bay is not going to be able to put up a lot of points. They're not built that way. No way.
They
absolutely
are. Listen. If they're getting built, and I think they are, very much like the Chicago Bears are, right? I think it's going to be a very, very interesting season for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They already have a bona fide runner. They have a bona fide first number one receiver. They're adding Mike Evans, who's going to be pretty good. I'm not going to say he's going to ball out, but he's going to get his share of jump balls.
Understand what I'm saying here. They have a new coaching staff, and a new quarterback.
I'm not worried about
with that. New schemes on both sides of the ball. New schemes on both sides of the ball, and new coaching staff, new philosophy with a new quarterback.
I got you. I follow what you're saying. And what's the cure? What is the cure for a new quarterback or a young quarterback? A running
running team. I understand that, but good luck. I guess say it's good luck because I don't see him win, just like Mikal said, I don't win more than six games. And I'd be surprised if they win six games. I really would be surprised if they win six games. I think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. I really believe that. They're going to be in a lot of games, but they won't win them because they won't have the talent on either side of the ball to win games.
I got
it's going to be a process.
I gotta disagree. But hey, it is what it is. You know what I mean? I'm not going to begrudge you anything other than ask you if you smell a little wager on it. That's all.
Well, let me ask you something. How many games do you think they're going to win?
They're going to win more than six. And if you're saying
no,
I'm saying they're doing more than six.
Well, yeah, you said say more than six. You said 10 and 11. Didn't you say something like that?
I said 10 and 6. That's what I said. But I'm not going to give you that leeway. That's a four-game cushion. No, you're saying they're going to be that bad that they're going to be 6. No, you said they're going to be 3 and 13. That's what you said. You said 3 and 13.
And then I also said I have to agree with Macau. I don't see him winning more than six games.
Get off of his satchel. Okay?
Why? That's one of the things I said.
Okay.
That's the last thing I said.
Satchel, man, get out of here.
Are you changing your prediction from 3
no,
and 13?
No, I said I have to go along with Macau. I said I had the record of 3 and 13. Yes, I did say that. But I also said the last thing I said on record-wise, I have to agree with Macau. I can't see them winning more than six games.
Okay. So I'm going against your prediction. You're saying they're not going to get more than three games based upon your prediction.
Oh, no. See, what I just got to finish saying?
Oh, my God. Victor, you are just terrible with this.
No.
The
man said his prediction was 3-13. Then he said, I can't see them winning no more than six games. That's giving him a three-game swing. That's all he's saying.
And Michael,
that's what he's saying.
Michael, I want you to understand what I'm saying. I'm betting him on his prediction, not on him agreeing with you. I don't care about that three-game cushion.
I do.
Oh, my God. You are just ridiculous. You are ridiculous.
Thank you. I try to be.
You going through all this. If you going to bet him on it, say, look, I'm betting you. What is your prediction and what's the bet? What you going to put your money on, Jerry?
That's all you got to say.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, exactly nothing. You're going to try to say, well, no. You know what? What are you willing to bet on?
There you go. God damn. All that.
Thank you.
No.
I'm saying. Wait a minute. Listen to me. I'm saying that they won't win more than six games. So if they win seven games.
No.
If they win seven. Wait a minute. If they win seven games, you win. Six games is a push. Five games I win.
I would prefer you go on your.
No. You asked me, and I told you, and I laid it out to you. So you take it or leave it.
I tell you what, old man. I tell you what I'm gonna do.
Oh, I see what you're trying to do. You know what, Victor? You know what's wrong with you, Victor? You think that you are so intelligent.
What?
To making some type of bets like this, and then you're gonna try to fool them. The man just put it out there intellectually to you. So, but that's not the bet you wanted. All you had to say was that's not the bet I wanted.
And Michael,
I want to bet you at 3 and 13.
I'm working my deal here. Unless you want to get in on the bet.
You ain't working no deal. You working some clown stuff right now.
Oh my God. No, I'm not.
Victor, show me anyway. Show me your intelligence, Victor. Show me. What is it you want?
You know what I'm going to do, Jerry? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do like you did me. You know what? I'm more comfortable with the Redskins. Remember this conversation? I'm more comfortable with the Redskins. So, you know, I'm not worried about it. Now, if you want to do the Jacksonville deal,
No. We're not talking about Jacksonville. We're talking a different part of the state and a different division.
Same circumstances, though. You said
No. That's in the past, Victor. That's not happening. Don't even rehash that because it's not happening.
It's
a dead conversation. That's a dead conversation. We're talking about what you brought up just now. Now, because you didn't like the terms of what I just talked about,
just like
now
you
want to push it in a different direction.
You didn't like my terms. It's the same situation there, buddy.
Well, hey, look. All you have to do is say I'm gonna walk away, and exactly what I did. I walked away, and I'm not gonna beat it down on you. I'm not gonna beat down on you. It doesn't make any sense. You don't want to go with it. That's fine. We can move on.
I'm just saying. You there, young buck.
Wait a minute. It's plain. Macau, am I speaking English here?
You do not understand what I'm saying.
You speaking some clean English, and you try. And actually, Jerry is the one that's trying to make a deal. Victor, you're trying to rob somebody. I don't know what's wrong with you.
No one is trying to rob anybody, man. No one is robbing anyone. Silence.
Take it or leave it. I said six is the break-off point. Six is a push. Seven, you win. Five, I win. Take it or leave it.
That's a fan bet.
No, it isn't, because when I had the same bet with him, he was like, no.
He just said, hold on. You're going to get upset because he walked away from something, and you don't want to walk away from this because you want it the way you want it? Okay, well, then walk away from it.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not a big deal. Walk away from it. I'm not going to have any hard feelings about it.
Already said I was.
Victor, you turned around and said, well, you walked away from a deal because I couldn't step up to the plate on a Jacksonville record. I said, well, hey, it is what it is. We agreed on one wager, and the other wager I didn't like, so I walked away from it. Are you going to still hold it against me? Come on.
Of course.
Come on.
Because you know why? It's the same terms. But you didn't feel comfortable, and I don't feel comfortable.
Well, it may have been the same terms, but the circumstances were different. It's a different team. Different scenario altogether.
Okay. So here's my question. Because
you're
about, 8.5. You feel as though Tampa's going to be the worst team in the NFL. You also feel, if that's the case, you gave Jacksonville the same record. You gave them 3-13. And the same terms you just gave me are the very same terms I gave you, but for Jackson.
I'm not holding against if you want to walk away.
No, I already told you I'm walking away. But you want
Fine. Then what's the issue?
I already told you.
The issue is because I won't accept the Jacksonville terms. Come on, people walk away. People walk away from wagers, all the time.
And deals all the time.
So it is what it is. You're not going to shame me into picking one deal because you're walking away from this one.
Know,
it's not going to happen. I'm telling you that.
Right, and that's stupidity. That is stupidity.
No, it isn't.
That is pure stupidity.
Then why don't you make the bet? You make it.
I bet you I could pull off a bet with him. That's better than that, and to make him feel comfortable with. That's how you got to do people, Slim. You can't just rob people out of their money like that.
Nobody's robbing nobody. He's a grown man.
You're exactly right.
Now,
but you tried
to con him, and you ain't even got no game to con him into taking some bet that you was trying to pimp on him, Slim. Come on, man. That's nonsense.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about? Let's all play dumb with Victor. Let's play dumb with Victor because that's what Victor's used to talking to.
We're going to go ahead and move on to the Saints.
About time.
Thank you. Thank
There's
you.
No guilty
Thank you.
Because Mr. Taylor is, he shriveled again. Yet again.
Let's move on.
Jimmy Graham has been so dynamic in the Saints passing attack that he and the New Orleans Saints front office are having a hard time determining whether he should be considered starting a wide receiver. Now, of course, this information is a little old because just recently Jimmy Graham was paid rather handsomely. He's now the highest paid tight end in the NFL. But the question I have is, will that triple the other opportunities for New Orleans to sign other people? Yes, $10 million a year is solid for a guy that is vital to that offense, but they gave a very similar amount to Marquise Colston, who has disappeared. I mean, he's literally disappeared. Hopefully he reemerges this year. It doesn't make the big of a difference in the fantasy, though, as Graham's 217.5 points last season rated first among tight ends and fourth among receivers, barely trailing Calvin Johnson's 219.2, who's not hot. And I kind of disagree with this, but we'll see. Mark Ingram has not been a viable fantasy option throughout his tenure in New Orleans. In 2012, he played in 11 games and accumulated 78 carries and 7 receptions. And an offense built to score big, he contributed 1 touchdown. The X factor. The Saints drafted Oregon State receiver Brandon Cooks in the first round of May's NFL draft. A 5'10" who ran the 40-yard dash in 4.33 seconds at the NFL Combine will replace replace Darren Sproles as a short yardage big play weapon. Now, what does that say? Of course, the pass run ratio was out of whack: 52% pass, 38% run. They've got Mr. Cooks, they've got Kenny Stills, Marquise Colston, Jimmy Graham, Mark Ingram, what's my running back, Pierre Thomas, and that young guy. I can't remember that young guy's name, that running back right now. But the offense seems to be smaller but faster. I'm not sure if that's going to be the recipe that wins the South for New Orleans. But if you go to the defensive side of the ball, what upgrades have they made? Has Rob Ryan been given enough talent on the defensive side of that ball to make a difference in the South? JT, what do you got?
Well, I had a couple of things here. The year the New Orleans Saints ran the football, they were a heavier than normal running team. They're going to go back to running the football more often. They have Mark Ingram, Kerry Robinson, and Pierre Thomas. They have a three-headed running back tandem that you're going to be using, and along with Brandon Cooks as their Darren Sproles type of player. So he's going to probably – he's 5'10", 189. So he's Darren Sproles type of guy, even though Darren Sproles is smaller. With that quickness, they're going to put him in position to make plays in space like Sproles did, catching the ball, flaring out from the backfield, or actually running the football from the backfield. And also, Mr. Marcus Colston, who's had issues over the last few years, is in a lot better shape and has been as healthy as he's ever been, and that's coming out of his mouth because his foot issues are a thing of the past. So despite him having only 75 catches, I expect him to be a little bit more involved in the offense more than he was last year. And I'm expecting a lot of more offense out of Drew Brees and company with a lot more weapons and being used more effectively, especially in the run game.
Okay. Mike, what do you have?
I think the Saints, oh, man, I don't know about the Saints. I mean, I know that they're going to put up a good fight against the Carolinas and the Atlantas and the Tampa Bays, but I really need to see this team play. They had a good comeback last year. You got my man Peyton back, you know, second year back, and Drew, and, you know, Jimmy Graham. I really need to see this team play, but if you're gonna push me, I would say they're between an 8-8 and a 9-7 type team. They have the capability to do more because of that offense and because of that that defense that they have down there. I don't know how. I really need to see them play, but I'm not coming past. I can't go no higher than 8-8, 9-7.
All right, JT, let's get it going.
Yep.
Here we go. I didn't give my fantasy guys, did I? Before we go to the records, the fantasy guys. I like Kenny Stills. We like Kenny Stills. He had a decent year last year. He's stepping up. They still have They still got Meacham there in New Orleans. But I think Kenny Stills is going to be that big play guy that is the difference maker for New Orleans. I'm not sure how many people still have him on their waiver wires or aren't going to draft him. But I think he's one of those guys that will make a big difference. Now, I think he's cooked in the return game as far as punt returns or kickoff returns. That'll be good, too. But I think Kenny Stills is going to get a part of that as well because he's elusive. And, again, these guys are short guys. They're about my height, 5'9", 5'10", but they can move. So I think Kenny Stills will do well. On the defensive side, Cameron Jordan what can I say? The guy's an animal. And he and that front line of New Orleans under Rob Ryan are, you know, they're pretty daggone outstanding. So I see Cameron having another good year, so I'm going to pick him as well as my defensive player. I wanted to get a linebacker in there, but I noticed on my list I didn't have any linebackers lined up from New Orleans. So, go ahead, JT.
Well, I'm going to start on the defensive side because I like these. I like this one guy when he was with Seattle. Now he's with New Orleans. I'm talking about David Hawthorne, inside linebacker. He had 91 tackles last year. I see him doing the same thing and maybe even doing better. And also Curtis Lofton, who had 125 tackles last year. I like both of those guys if you're picking up somebody from an IDP. And your defensive position in a fantasy league that has defensive positions, not particularly inside linebackers or linebacking position. On the other side, talked about this guy before, and I'm talking about it again because I think he's going to get drafted probably 7th or 8th round, could be even later. I'm talking about Marcus Colston. Regardless of what Jimmy Graham does, Marcus Colston still is one of Drew Brees' favorite targets. If he's that much more healthy, means that he's going to be that much more effective. The decent disparity in catches between 86 that Jimmy Graham had and Marcus Colston had in 75. In fact, he was the third leading receiver on the team versus Pierre Thomas, who had 77, who was second behind Jimmy Graham. So I'm seeing Marcus Colston, a more healthy Marcus Colston, getting a lot more receptions. And even the fact is maybe Jim takes away from Jimmy Graham. because I know he likes throwing to Marcus Colson also. So I like Marcus Colson on the offensive side, and on the defensive side, either Curtis Lofton or David Hawthorne.
All right.
Hey, I got to get up out of here. I'm gonna catch y'all tomorrow. I'll catch you tomorrow, Jerry. Peace.
All right, man. You take care.
All right. Goodbye. All right. What we got here? New Orleans. They go to Atlanta. First game of the season.
A loss.
I believe I had Atlanta winning that game. Yes, I did. At Cleveland.
Win.
Correct. Minnesota, home from Minnesota.
Win.
At Dallas.
In the dome, win.
Okay.
Dallas has no defense.
I agree. Tampa.
Win. Home against Tampa. Tampa's not going to beat them at home.
I believe I said Tampa, but I got them. Yeah, you're right. Didn't have a bye week. At Detroit.
Loss.
I disagree. Home for Green Bay.
Win.
Got a loss. At Carolina.
Loss. Thursday night. Short week.
They're going to beat Carolina. Home for San Francisco.
Loss.
Agreed. Home for Cincinnati.
Win.
Agreed. Home for Baltimore.
Win.
I'm going to give them a loss. I'm going to give them a loss on that one. At Pittsburgh.
Loss.
I give them a win. Home for Carolina.
Win.
Agreed. At Chicago.
Loss. December 15th in Chicago. Monday night.
But Drew can do it, man.
On the road. On the road. Against Chicago.
Who can
score two?
Good point. But I don't know how that defense is going to look. That's the thing. I'll give it to Chicago. You convinced me on that one. Home for Atlanta.
Win.
I disagree. I think it's a loss. At Tampa.
Loss.
I agree. I have them 11-5.
Really?
And when, yes. 11-5.
I got them 9-7, 10-6, somewhere around there.
Yeah, not too far. Got them 11-5.
Mm-hmm.
Still
mm-hmm.
good enough to win the division. But because of that loss to Tampa Bay, at the end of the season, I think Tampa Bay gets in the playoffs. It's going to be three teams from the South.
Ain't happening.
I believe.
Tampa Bay, it's not going to be a good team.
Mr. Taylor. All right, Mr. Taylor. Tell you what I'll do. Here's what I'll do for you. Now that there's no external, hyping you up.
You're not going to change what I'm saying, but go ahead.
No, just hear me out. Four is a push. Five
for
the loss.
No. I gave you the parameters. I'm not going away from that. Six is a push. Five,
no.
I win. Seven,
no.
You win.
No, I'm not going to give you five because that's not what your prediction was. I'm basing it off of your prediction, not off of you agreeing with somebody else. If you think they're going to get 5 or less, you should have said 5-11, not 3-13.
Well, you heard me when I said, if you can't agree with that, then we just move on. It's not a big deal.
All right, we'll move on, loser.
Unbelievable, Victor. You are unbelievable, but that's okay.
I try to be. I'm just that great. I try to be. At any rate, talk to me, JTATN Money. We're about to get ready to close
what?
The show.
Okay, well, tune in tomorrow.
Hold up.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hold up. Okay,
go ahead.
I
I meant for you to talk to me about this trade that you proposed to me. I accept it. But yet you don't have the stones to submit, even though you proposed it.
I just threw it out there to see where you were at, and you said you would you would go with it. And just because I threw it out there doesn't mean that I'm going to propose it to you. I just threw it out there to find out if you were feeling it or not, and apparently you were. Now you're going to push me. Now you're going to try to shame me into doing the same thing as you were trying to get me to make this wager, is to shame me into pushing the trade out there. And I told you that I was putting a feeler out there to see how you felt about it, and I wasn't ready to give up on a guy I just picked up and had one game that he had a bad game. It happens. Guys, every player goes through bad games or multiple bad games. He's only been back 4 games since his injury. I can't give up on him that quick. So I propose to wait. That's all. I was just going to wait. Now, if the window is closed when I decide to propose it, if I ever decide to propose it, then so be it. That's the way the ball bounces. Opportunity could have come, and I could have missed it. It happens. So if you're willing to be patient and wait, fine. If you're not, fine. It's fine one way or the other. because I rather sit and wait and see if this guy's going to pan out and do what I in my gut think he's going to do or not, and then I'll package him with somebody else and give him to you if you want him. So it is what it is. So,
Mr. Taylor, you work for the Houston Astros, because that's the same crap they did last year when they were peddling all of their prospects and stuff like that. So let me ask you this.
What do you think about what they did to their first round pick? A couple of picks.
Yeah, because of the stuff they saw on his shoulder.
No, it wasn't an elbow, but that's beside the point. Yeah, I guess they proposed it to him, and then they did a physical on him, and they said they found this, I wouldn't say lowballed him, but they took away a little over $1 million away from the offer, and the prospect decided not to sign for the lower amount.
Correct. But seeing as though this isn't the first time it's happened, like I think it's the third time in a decade that they've had the first overall pick and failed to sign them, that doesn't speak well about the organization, just like, Moneyball. Moneyball just fails to do a lot of things.
Pulled off more trades in this league than anyone else.
I've
pulled off more trades in this league than anyone else with different trade partners. So it wasn't just like I was going one to one particular person to try to get a trade. Some guys, I guess, refuse to trade with me or whatever, but or don't like the type of trades I put out. But the last few trades I put out were pretty even in my opinion. I guess both teams benefited from, got what they wanted. So that's the bottom line. That's what I like to do. Not try to rip anybody off, like a few people I know. But that's okay.
Like a few people you know. That's not even funny. But it is what it is.
I'm just keeping it real, man.
You're keeping it real. Nobody rips somebody. It's a business. This is a business, man. Mm-hmm. But I'll say this. Mm-hmm. Mr. Taylor, you are a piece of work. You've offered, and when people come to terms, just like the Astros and their prospect, you pull away. Something's wrong. It's okay. Not a problem whatsoever.
Ryan Braun and a Carlos Gonzalez that's only been back from an injury for 4 games. For Nelson Cruz, it sounds like I'm getting the better of the deal. It sounds like I'm getting the better of the deal, but Ryan Braun and Carlos Gonzalez can produce big time, okay? And I'd rather have two players that if one player goes down, I still have that one player that could produce versus giving away those two players for one player with the possibility that one player going down because I relied on him heavily for some offense on my team. I lose some versatility on my roster, and that's one of the reasons why I'm hesitant about doing that.
You're just pulling deals off the table all day today, aren't you?
No, I'm not pulling anything off the table. I never put it this way. I text you and ask you about what about this and that, and you said you would go for that deal. But I never put it on the web page. Like someone else I know put it on the web page and then pulled it off. And pulled it off. Wait a minute. No. You put it on the web page and basically – And I'm gonna call you out on this too because you've done this before. I'm gonna call you out on this. You put a trade up on the webpage a few days ago, and because I didn't do it, the deal right away, you pulled it off, which is fine. That's your prerogative. But I put deals on the board. And gave you the time that you needed because you said you wanted to think about it or whatever, and gave you the time to think about it, and didn't even try to push you. Just put it out there and said, okay, you make up your mind what you want to do, and whatever decision you make is that decision you make. But you had agreed, once I put something up on a board, you had agreed upon it. And I still gave you the time because you weren't too sure about what you wanted to do. I didn't pull it off quickly or expeditiously because you didn't accept it right away, just like somebody else I know did. And I'm not saying any person's name, Victor. So when you do that, it's like, okay, I think I told you I wanted to think about it, and you put it up there, and then as quick as you put it up there, almost as that quickly, you took it down. So I said, okay, now I really have to think about something with you because the fact is sometimes you go right ahead and sometimes you say, I got to think about it or I change my mind. It's all right when you change your mind, but it's not all right when somebody else changes their mind other than you. But that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. I understand the animal I'm dealing with, so I understand.
That's okay. Haters gonna hate. Players.
No, I'm not hating. I'm just putting it out there as it is, not as I see it, as it is.
I think it's as you see it, but that's okay. I'm not gonna hate. Like something. Hate. Anyway,
but that's all right.
All right.
You could have had that trade pulled off if you had kept it up there long enough, but you didn't keep it up there. You just snatched it right off. Excuse me?
Then send it back. Send it back to me. You can propose it.
It's too late now. You ticked me off when you did that. I couldn't believe you did that. You ticked it off. You ticked me off when you did that.
So now you're taking it personally? Did we just have this conversation that you and my
what'd you tell me? It's business.
Whatever.
It's business.
Jerry, this is what I think about.
That's all right. That's all right. When I slowly walk you down, just like your boy, when I slowly walk you guys down, then you'd be saying, how do you do that? My squad is getting stronger by the day. I'm really liking my pitchers. I'm going to talk about it tomorrow, but I'm really liking. I picked up a pitcher off the waiver wire. Somebody, I don't know why they did what they did, but I picked them up off the waiver wire.
Who?
Cole Hamels. I don't know why he dropped them, but I made sure I got his butt. I got a lot of strikeout power. Some of these teams don't have a lot of offense, so I'm not really worried about the wins and losses. I'm worried about the ERA and whips, and these guys are going to give me some strikeouts. I got a pretty strong squad. They're not elite, but they're decent. And with my bats I got, I'm telling you, I'm going to be taking some people down the next half of this season. And Hakuna Tejada, like I said before, I may not win this week, but next week and going forward, I'm going to be a tough out. Guaranteed I'm going to be a tough out. If you look at the records, and one of the key things I look at, is the not the wins and losses, but the ties. I'm tied with the second most amount of ties. That means I'm very, very competitive, and a lot of my matchups can go either way. That means if I shore up my pitching, which I have with two pitchers, really three or four pitchers, because I've turned my pitching staff over from last week with some decent pitching. You probably won't see me streaming. I think a couple guys have decided to play it a certain way the last 2 weeks, and I've noticed what they did. But that's okay. I've caught on to what
pitchers?
They. Excuse me.
They pull their pitchers after they get their inning pitch. Yeah, I know.
Yep. But that's okay. So they win at least two or three categories, at least two or three, maybe four, because I load up on pitchers. So what they do is, once they get their categories, and if they have a low ERA and a lower WHIP, they pull their pitchers, and for the most part, win three or four, at least three or four categories in pitching, and then I got to scramble around to try to win the other categories, and hope my hitters perform well. But that's okay. That's okay. I didn't catch on to it last week. I caught on to it this week, so that's why I want to shore up my pitching. So I won't be streaming a lot of pitchers like I was doing over the last few weeks. So
we shall see. We shall see what you do, young man.
I'm waiting for a certain Victor Gardner and Mr. FSP to match me up. I think it's in a few weeks. Week 20, if I'm not mistaken. We're in week 15 now. Week 20, so I can kick your butt again.
Okay. If that's what you think.
Hakuna Tejada is going to get his butt kicked next week. So.
All right. Well, I'll tell you like this, young man. When you're ready to do a deal, we can do it. We can do it. I just know that you, my friend, will be getting your ass smashed, dog. That's all. You're going to get your ass smashed. That's all. So, with that being said, and you're going to do the show tomorrow.
Yep.
10 a.m. Eastern, the master plan. When do you plan to do your individual like quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers and stuff?
Well, I'm starting at the end of the month. It's four
okay.
weeks. So if I start at the end of the month, it'll end up by the middle of, you know what, I mean, yeah, I'll be, it won't be, yeah, I'll be doing the end of the month. So I'll probably do two, double up on two of them because I want to be able to have most of them, if not all of them, done by the middle of August. So it will help anybody who's listening do their fantasy drafts because most of their drafts are, like, most of them are in the middle of August to the end of August. So.
Well, get ready, ladies and gentlemen. JT Tim White is going to go on a rampage. He gives good advice sometimes. Let's get ready out of here, JT.
All right. Well, from Victor, who's Mr. Sandman, who's out there doing his thing, and from myself and from all the people that listen to our show or catch it on the archives, it's been a pleasure as always. Tune in next week. But for now, you've been listening to...
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble! You wanna talk smack? You in the right place.